Ramsey TV.
I am in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I seem like I haven't been able to get out of the first four verses in 2 weeks, but that's the way I operate. As you can see, the Star of Bethlehem rises in the east. Yes, a harbinger of great things to come, namely this show. You're at MCTV. Welcome here. I love you all. Where would I be without you? I'm in my car at 5:23 a.m. on a Wednesday morning. I like doing these shows in the dark. I don't know why, because even though I herald this is going out on YouTube, this is going out to the world, yet very few people find it. God directs, very few people do it. If it was up to me, I would want everybody to see it. I would be like Paul on Mars Hill. I just want everybody to hear it, everybody to understand that there's another way, there's another option besides organized religion. Most people in organized religion, when they leave organized religion, they assume they have to leave Christ and God in organized religion and come out without Christ and God. Because, wonder of wonders, get this, they think Christ and God are part of organized religion. When I tell people that Christ and God never were in organized religion and that they're outside too, people can leave organized religion and not give up Christ and God. That is, you're not throwing out the babies with the bathwater. We don't want to do that. Now, on yesterday's show, at the end there, when I was talking about the epic and memorable Jerry Boschman talk in Sacramento, California. By the way, if anybody can find those tapes, I'd like to see them. I don't think they exist. Somebody has them, I think, but maybe nobody has them. It doesn't matter. At the end, I told you how Dan Sheridan came up to me after Jerry's talk. And Jerry, I will remind you, and then I'll get off this topic, but if you don't know what I'm talking about, listen to yesterday's show called Jerry Boschman and the Body of Christ. Jerry Boschman was very upset that I was insisting that the Trinity, which denies the death of Christ, how can Christ have died? If Christ is God, the same being, and God can't die, therefore Jesus Christ did not die. And yet Paul says that his evangel is the death of Christ. Christ died for our sins. It just clashes against it. It's the opposite of it. I was insisting on that. Jerry Boschman didn't like that because I'm pretty sure Jerry Boschman is into the immortality of the soul. Going to talk about that in a minute. The immortality of the soul. Nobody dies. We just go on. Jerry was upset about that. And at the conference, he said, during a talk on Sunday morning, Martin said that you have a pure heart. I love you like a brother. You have a pure heart. However, and then he went off to destroy my message and my arrogance and my, how dare you make the gospel so hard? How dare you disqualify millions of people? I'm not doing it. God's doing it. The key thing here is you have a pure heart. I know you have a pure heart, Martin, but you're a son of a bitch. He didn't say that, but it was kind of like that. When Sheridan came up to me after the talk, he was totally joking. He was being facetious. He came up to me and he said, Sunder, this is the old Sheridan. This is the, you have to differentiate the old Sheridan from the new Sheridan. The old Sheridan was more scripturally sound. The old Sheridan, the Sheridan of 2012 came up to me and said, with a little smirk on his face, see, it was all facetious. He goes, I believe everything Jerry Boschman said up there. And I was pretty sure he was joking. And I said, what? And he said, except for one thing I don't believe whatsoever. I said, what's that? He says, when he said you had a pure heart. It was a complete joke. He didn't really mean it. I just wanted to make that clear. Why does Satan put the Trinity and free will in front of the Gospels? No, I already went through that. Well, no, this is an appropriate question. This is an appropriate question. Is it these are the two most beautiful deceptions that there are? These are the deepest, brightest, most attractive baubles, the most attractive prizes, the most glittering pieces of gold that you can offer to humanity. And humanity jumps into these things. These things are pits. They are pits of destruction. They are pits of aeonian loss. And yet, like flies and moths that are, moths that are irrevocably and unavoidably drawn to the light, to the zapper. You know those purple lights or those yellow lights? You see these purple lights that are at places, outdoor places in the summer. There is beautiful light. It's just glowing. And the moths are drawn to it. As soon as they touch it, they're dead. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. That's what these teachings are to human beings. Now, I keep talking about the Trinity. The Trinity specifically denies the death of Christ, but it is related to a doctrine called the immortality of the soul. Ooh, that's the biggest zapper of all. Because who wants to die? Every single person on the earth is afraid of death. I mean, even we in the body of Christ, we're not afraid of death, but we're like, do I have to do that? We don't like it. Death. Who wants to be in oblivion? Wow, it doesn't sound too bad, actually. Oblivion. Wow, that sounds... Some days it's really attractive. See, even to us. No, wait a minute. No, that doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Because the human wants... See, we're weird in the body of Christ. We don't want to die. This is weird. I think I want to die because life is so hard. But speaking for myself, I really don't like to go to bed because I'm going to become unconscious. And as soon as I wake up... Like this morning, I wake up at 3:30. So whenever I wake up, I automatically want to get up. I don't like being unconscious. I'm a total contradiction. Total contradiction. Because I have that part in me that likes the bug zapper. Likes the beautiful purple color of the bug zapper. In that, I like the idea of the immortality of the soul. Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to face death? And so, as we know, Satan's first lie in the Garden of Eden was, to die, you shall not be dying. He made our forebears doubt death. Suggested to them that they would live forever. And humanity has believed that lie ever since. And so anybody who comes out with the immortality of the soul, the entire Christian religion believes in the immortality of the soul. They believe in Satan's lie. It's because it's so attractive. So naturally, they believe that. When you, quote, die, unquote, you either go to heaven or hell. You don't really die. You just get transferred to another realm. That's what they call death. Death to them is merely transfer to another realm. That's called immortality of the soul. It is a satanic teaching going way back. It is a, somebody said, like, Plato popularized it back in the day, back in the days of Greece. Maybe it was Aristotle. I don't know. It wasn't Pythagoras, was it? I don't know these Greek guys, but apparently, I mean, it doesn't matter. All through human history, it's an attractive teaching. And it's related to the Trinity, because if humanity is immortal, then certainly Jesus Christ doesn't die. If no human being doesn't die, if no human being dies, I should say, then Jesus isn't going to die either. So it's related. So no wonder Satan puts this beautiful lie in front of the death of Christ. It's interesting because 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is called the resurrection chapter. And as I always remind you, there is no resurrection without death. Is no resurrection without death. Paul insists that everyone is going to be resurrected and vivified, but in order to be that, everyone has to die, except that few who remain alive when the Lord comes, namely us. But we're the rare, rare exception. Otherwise, humanity dies, as we're well aware. It sucks. Paul is insisting on everybody dies. He's insisting on it because he insists that everybody raises from the dead. Everybody is going to be roused, raised, and vivified. That is, made alive beyond the reach of death. So the resurrection chapter might as well be called, I mean, you could call it this. It's ancillary. It's proportionally sensible to call it the death chapter. The death chapter. Because death and resurrection go hand in hand. I want to continue reading. Oh, and then we, wait a minute, I want to continue reading in 1 Corinthians 15. I love this next part. I love this next part, and I'm going to, I wish I had 45 minutes for every show, an hour, but people would balk at it. But I would, I could go on and on and on. I could do the whole chapter in just one continuous gulp, because once I plug in here, I'm happy. John Lennon used to say, when I'm plugged in, everything's okay. You know, John Lennon, of course, of the Beatles, he was a tortured soul. Most artists are tortured souls. I consider myself an artist of sorts. I'm a tortured soul. It's just the way it is. I don't even care anymore. I don't even care to hide it or anything. As I call myself on my blog page, I said, I'm a broken vessel made to be poured out. Yes, sir. I have the Spirit of God, the perfume of God inside of me, and you do too, but it doesn't come out. You could pour it out the proper little spout there, but no, God doesn't do it that way. He breaks the vessel, and the perfume comes out, and there's the vessel sitting there like this, all broken, but the perfume comes out, and I know that's in me, and I know it's in me. And it, apparently it comes out more when I'm broken than when I'm not. So there you go. There you go. We're all broken in some way or another. I have no idea what I was talking about before that, but it doesn't matter. Most professional speakers are concerned when that happens. What was I talking about? Me? I don't care. I just go on to the next thing that comes to my mind. It's the Spirit of God that does that. So here we go. Free will. That is one of the most precious things that a human can have. And Satan puts another beautiful deception. It's another purple zapper. Maybe it's a slightly different hue. Oh, yeah. I told you I want to be plugged in. That's what it was. John Lennon says, I feel happy when I'm plugged in. I feel happy when I'm on this show. It's the only time in the day I really feel happy. I'm not kidding you. That's why I wish I could just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Because people say, Martin, you're so upbeat. Oh, we love it. You're so such a happy proclaimer of the truth. You're so excited on your shows. You do voices. Sometimes you put music in there and you just never shut up. I love it. Yeah. Well, you don't see me a second before I hit the button, a second after I hit the button, do you? All right. There you go. So I'm happy when I'm plugged in. And I'm happy to be here with you. I can't tell you that enough. And I'm glad you're here also. So the other beautiful purple zapper is human free will. I was sitting next to a guy on an airplane one time, big jet, we're ready to take off, go to some faraway city, and this guy was all nervous. We're taxiing, we're, you know, number two for takeoff, now we're number one for takeoff, the plane makes that 90 degree turn, and you're facing down the runway. This guy next to me is shaking. He's shaking like an icicle. And I said, what's the matter? He's already got a little bottle of juice, you know. He's got a little bottle of distilled grain beverage in his pocket, and he's sucking it down. Got a little Jack Daniels there. He goes, I'm out of control. I don't like to be out of control. So it's like the guy couldn't trust the pilot. I looked at him, and I said, well, I appreciate your agony, sir, but are you telling us that we'd be better off with you flying the plane? Is that what you think? We'd be better off with you flying the plane? I'm this way with total strangers, so you know, I try to be helpful. So you think you'd be happier if you were sitting in the pilot seat? The guy actually would be. He wouldn't know how the hell to fly the plane, but he feels better being in control. But being strapped in and being at the being subjected to the powers of someone else made him nervous. Couldn't stand it. That's humanity. They can't stand the idea of not being in control of their own destiny. Why? Because they're proud and arrogant SOBs. So humanity is proud and arrogant. We don't want to die, and we don't want to be out of control. Oh, those are related, aren't they? Because when you die, you're really out of control. Nobody likes that feeling of letting go, being out of control. Maybe that's why I don't like going to sleep, because of becoming out of control. Some people like anesthesia. Well, God bless you if you love anesthesia. If you like to be operated on and get that gas coming on you, good for you. I hate it. It's a panicky feeling when you feel like you're going away and you're no longer under control. I know there can be some rest associated with that, but generally don't like it. So this guy was shaking like an icicle. I don't know why I said icicle. I just hate the cliches. I almost said shaking like a leaf, but it was a total cliche, so I just came up with the next best thing. I just saw it shaking like an icicle. That's how that works. So Yes. So humanity loves any teaching which dishes up control to human beings. Control, that is extremely attractive. That even to us, we like control. Oh, this is why I'm finally giving up. Because I'm done with control. I'm finally giving up the typesetting of my books to someone else. I'm giving up the artistic control of my books to someone else. Seth Fallenkamp. He doesn't know that yet. He's hearing it now for the first time. Yes, my friend, I want you to pick out the illustrations for my upcoming books because you know my style. You've seen my books. You're kind of a freako like me. You're artistic, so I think you get my vision. But anyway, he's coming down here March 5th through 9th, coming up very soon. And I'm going to meet him. We're going to fellowship, and I'm going to pass on the manuscripts to him. And you're going to have some new books this year. That's exciting. But I had to finally give up control. I had to finally give up this idea that only I can typeset these books. Only I know how to arrange them artistically. Only I can line up these words in a pleasing fashion. It's not true. He can do it too. So I'm letting go finally. That's how attractive it is. Even to us, we love this idea of control. But as we have come to learn in the scriptures that God is in control, we have learned to love that, to love that. In fact, I was talking to Regina Dabbs. Waylon and Regina went to China recently, and I said, how'd you handle that? Because I went to China once to visit my son, and I never met my daughter-in-law, and I ended up flying to China. This was several years ago. I said, how'd you like that? I think it's a 14-hour trip. I said, how'd you like that 14-hour trip? She goes, you know, I loved it. I said, huh? Say again? Well, the reason is, she said, because the whole 2 weeks before, I was packing, doing everything, trying to get everything right. I am the one in control. Going through the lists, making sure we got everything that we need. When they finally shoved that luggage on the plane and we got strapped in, it was like my responsibilities were over. Now I can relax because it was totally in somebody else's hands. I couldn't do anything anymore. And now it was totally up to the pilot to get us where. And I had 14 luxurious hours of not doing anything. Even if I remembered something that I forgot, it's too late. Here I am on this plane. There you go. There you go. That is a spiritual disposition. Like now, it is actually, and we learn this, we learn to relax and we learn to even enjoy that someone else is flying this plane, sailing this ship, and running our lives. That is a beautiful thing. It's the opposite of this control that humanity wants to have, needs to have. And that's the reason they go headlong. They dive headfirst into human free will. This is why Satan puts it in front of Christ died for our sins. Because it's so beautiful and it's irresistible to humans. And I described these doctrines of demons, I think yesterday, as a pit. As a pit in front of the death of Christ. That is the immortality of the soul, which is related to the Trinity, is a pit in front of the death of Christ. And free will, that we are independent of God and that we decide our own destiny. Isn't that important? Doesn't that make us feel special? That is the pit in front of Christ died for our sins. But these pits are covered by Satan. They're covered by him. You can't see where the pit leads because he puts a little sparkly fake floor over it. And he puts purple lights on it. And it makes it so attractive that the human left to its own cannot resist it. Even you and I, listen to this, you and I could not resist these satanic teachings were it not for the grace of God keeping us from them. The purple light that is charged with deathly electricity, death-producing electricity, is so attractive to humanity. Don't think for a second that you yourself would not go for it. You would. You would fly straight for it with the rest of humanity, Romans chapter 3. But by the grace of God, you resist these baubles, bangles, and bright shiny beads that Satan puts in front of the most deadly traps in the world today, the immortality of the soul and human free will. So you can thank God today for His grace, for His favor of you, that He says, you know, this one here, she's not gonna fall into the pit. I'm gonna rescue her from stepping into that deception. And I'm going to rescue him from stepping into that deception. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it's as rare as a lightning strike to be spared from the purple zapper. Because as we see today, it is taking billions of people down. And they are missing out on aeonian life. They won't miss out on eternal life because God is the Savior of all humanity. But they are missing out on the life, the early life, that God chooses certain people for. It's not really their fault that they're stepping into the pit, just like it's not to our credit that we're avoiding these uber attractive pitfalls. But I and you, we look to God as the author of all these things. And it uses the contrast of truth and error now in order to separate people. But in the end, thank God, evil is finally put away. The deceptions are finally put away. And at the end of the eons, God becomes all in all.